Yo, hey, hi, hello. Welcome back. Connections Podcast. We're back. Connections Sports Media Podcast. Episode 3. Steve, we made it, man. Last time we celebrated making it 2 episodes. We've now made it 3. Shall we give ourselves a nice round of applause again?
I mean, always accomplish the little things first before you can accomplish the big things. Yeah. My word of advice for today.
Yeah, I agree. How's it going, man? How was the holidays?
It was good. It was good. I got to spend some time at home. Was there a little bit extra. Originally was planning on going to the Bragging Rights game. I didn't go because I didn't want to get blown away on I-55.
Turned out to be a great decision to stay home, man.
The worst game played in the tenure of Brad Underwood. They looked like to kind of get stuff together last night. That is the Illinois men's basketball team. So we were talking about this before we started. It's still early in the college basketball season. Conference play starts next week for real. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes from there. But yeah, it was. I'm glad I missed it. I was watching it by myself in my dad's bar down in the basement, screaming and yelling at the TV. So it was fine. But anyway, the holidays were good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Went to her family's on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day went and saw my mom or my side of the family, however you want to call it. Traveled a lot over that weekend. So it's been kind of nice. I've taken the last couple of days off from the day job, and it's been nice to just be at home and chill and kind of get those days back. But related to what you were saying about being angry about Illinois, I was very angry about that too. And I'm using that to transition today's guest because Casey Stanhart, social media director from CHGO, joins us today. And she's seen me very angry before, not usually because of Illinois, but because of the Cubs or because of just Chicago sports. She's probably seen me as angry as anyone has ever seen me. She's super talented, one of the nicest people I've met in the industry too. Before we do that though, wanted to give a shout out to anyone who's listened, download the podcast, all that good stuff. I've had a few people text me, and which is cool. It's cool. And shout out to Mike in the comments too. I've been on his podcast before. He's a cool dude. So anything to add with that, Steve, before I bring
it? No, I've heard from a couple people too. It's great to hear. We appreciate all the support. It's just a small little venture we're trying out, and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, and really honestly, Cody, if you're not getting angry at Chicago sports, I mean, right now it's pretty much always angry. Like with all five major teams, for the most part, it's been a rough decade.
it's been a rough year at the very least. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, decade not so much. Not for you, I guess.
You've been. Yeah, it's true. Sorry,
the Cubs. It's fine. Yeah, everything's fine.
All right. So I'm welcoming in Casey Stanhart. Hi, Casey. How's it going?
Hi, guys. Good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Awesome. So for everyone who's listening, Casey, like I said, she is like our behind the scenes, social media, like guru director. I think that
I heard Maven director. On the new,
social media Maven.
I heard that one. That was good.
A few times now, and I kind of dig it. I might change my handle to like social Maven. I don't know.
I mean, that's a great handle. If it's available, that's a great one.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pro. Very pro on you changing your handle on social media to that.
Social media.
So Casey, I've gotten to know over the last 10 months. And what's neat, what's been my favorite part about getting to know Casey over the last 10 months is that she's very passionate about this shit that we all do. She not only does this job at CHGO, but she'll travel to go do Big East field hockey tournament or whatever in Virginia. She was doing the Illinois high school football state championship games at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. She goes all over the place to do this. And that's something that I really admire because a lot of people, as me and Steve have talked over the last 2 shows that we've done at the very least, we've talked about how no one wants to do any of that. And Casey's just like, I'll do it.
Yeah, I've just been saying yes to like everything lately, especially this year, guys. Because there was a time during COVID where I had been making a lot of progress with what I was trying to do. Like, I was working for this women's softball team and getting some high school game reps in and doing all this broadcasting on the side. And some of it was unpaid, but I didn't care because I just wanted the experience. And then COVID hit and all of my momentum was shot to shit. And I was like, well, I guess it's not meant to be. And then things started to kick back up. And now I've been saying yes and actually getting some momentum in my broadcasting career. And CHGO, Cody, as you probably would agree to too, has been such a blessing and been so great for people like us who were trying to find a sports place to fit, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of places end up tanking or it's not the right fit or you got to do something else on the side. Like, to have this as a full-time job and get to work in Chicago sports has been huge. I think I can speak for Cody and myself when I say that. I've just been saying yes to everything and really open to high school sports, college sports, women's sports, everything I can just to get better.
And you gotta grind. I mean, it's the, when people say respect the grind, it's really a thing, because you to get started, sometimes you got to do the things that nobody else wants to do. You have to go to middle of nowhere, Illinois, to cover a state high school championship, even though Champaign's really not in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, it's I respect that because I've done it too. It's covering games in Cumberland County, Illinois,
right,
for 2A sports that are playing both ways.
And sometimes you go do a gig like that and like it just ends up being like a really bad game, or it ends up being like a not a great broadcast where your mic's cutting out and things aren't great. And so then you kind of have nothing to show for it. And you're like, all right, I guess I got to try again next time, you know? And it's like one of those things that at times you question, you're like, why am I doing this? Like, and then you go back to the root of it and say, okay, I'm motivated. I want this. If I don't hustle, someone else will. And so that's kind of been my mindset lately. I mean, there's been times where I've broken down into tears and wanted to, you know, do something else. And I say, why do I even try? But I always come back to this place where I'm like, no, this is still the goal. I still have a passion for this. And when I don't, then I'll stop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The amount of times I've been in that scenario too. And that's kind of why before CHGO, I was just doing this stuff for fun. Cause it got to a point where I got so burnt out. And for 2 years, I just, you know, was doing marketing and social media and stuff like that for other companies that weren't even related to sports. And, you know, just podcasting and tweeting about sports, mainly the Cubs and all that kind of thing, and just for fun. Yeah. And it somehow led to this.
And you built a brand for yourself too, which obviously paid off at CHGO. And Steve, I'm sure you're familiar with doing that too. You kind of have to build up your own brand. And I have college students that DM, message, email me almost daily. And they're like, I'm frustrated. I can't get a job in sports. And I don't mean to give them like tough love, but I'm like, listen, I didn't get my first full-time job in sports until this year, and I'm 31 years old. Right. So relax, know that it's not that simple. For some people it might be, and everyone's path is different. Like, there's no cookie cutter way into the industry. You can't say, okay, I'm going to go to med school for this many years and then I'm a doctor. It doesn't work like that with sports, and it's frustrating, but we do it because we love it. We don't do it for the money, that's for sure.
I think it was Theo that said development isn't linear. Is that Theo's thing?
Or yeah, Theo Epstein did say but development isn't linear.
He's a smart guy. So
it's not.
And so it's up and down. It's a roller coaster. And you have to make choices. But I always tell people that DM me or message me, like, to keep going if you love it. And know that it's going to be hard. And you're going to have moments where you want to quit. And you're not going to be everybody's cup of tea, especially when you're doing on-camera work. Like, some people might say, oh, I'm looking for a guy or a girl or a blonde or someone who doesn't sound or look like you. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. one thing that me and Steve definitely have, a little bit of an advantage of is that we're male. And I hate saying it that way. Like, I hate saying that that's a fact, but it is kind of like history has shown that. It's a lot easier for us to get going in this industry. And that, again, that's why I kind of like what I said at the beginning about you, is that, you know, you got that disadvantage being a female. And, you know, everyone, the females are just judged so much more. You got to look a certain way. You got to talk a certain way. And like, I don't know if I would have been able to stick with it, getting criticized or, you know, just nitpicked it like that as much. And that's
that's something that I think a lot of people don't understand, because I go on CHGO Cubs, and if I'm pissed off about whatever the Cubs are doing or happy about whatever the Cubs are doing, I use the same tone and I use the same enthusiasm and passion every single time. And the thing that I see whenever I watch a YouTube video or whatever, and it's a broadcast of females doing it, you always see in the comments someone saying, "I hate her voice," or "I like these ladies don't look good," or "they're ugly."
What
or something.
Is she wearing? Why does her hair look like that? It's so sad. And I know
it really is.
I understand it's a vain industry. I get it. But it just, like you said, Cody, it adds an element to it that we have to deal with, because I will get ready to do a basketball broadcast and I'll go to my boyfriend and say, "Is this too low cut? Does this look good? Or is this too conservative? Or is this too this?" And it's like, I shouldn't even have to think about that, but we do, you know? And it's like, what should I wear that helps me look good but professional? And what should I say that helps me sound knowledgeable but also like myself, like my bubbly personality? So it can be tough, but there has been such change over the past couple years where women are getting into those play-by-play roles, getting into analyst roles. You're following in the footsteps of Doris Burke, and women are general managers of teams and coaches and referees and in high power positions now. So it is getting better for us, and it's almost like shifting where now it's getting harder for men. So if we can find a good balance, I think that'd be awesome, because I just think it should really be about the best person for the job. Right.
Yeah.
And you mentioned somebody like Doris Burke. Who else have you kind of tried to maybe not necessarily copy or like make themselves like? Who have you looked up to in the industry? Who's helped you come along?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have had great mentors, both men and women in the industry. People that have helped me along the way, watched my reel, given me advice, helped me navigate some of those negative things that I deal with. Jenny Taft, who does college football on Fox, is someone I really look up to and admire. I have spoken to her once or twice, and she's great. And I just see myself in her. I'm like, okay, I kind of can relate. I feel like I look and sound a little bit like her, to the point where if she can do that, then why can't I be me? I've had other mentors in the industry, like Kevin Burkhardt, who does NFL on Fox. He has made it up the ranks. You know, he didn't get his first gig until he was into his 30s. And he is now the lead play-by-play guy doing the Super Bowl and doing the number one games with Aaron Andrews and Greg Olsen. So, but there's been so many people. I've had hockey reporters and writers and agents be really kind to me and helpful. A lot of women that I work with here in Chicago are role models to me. It's great to see women like Kate Scott and Lisa Byington in play-by-play roles in the NBA. You know, that's really cool to see. So I don't know. It's hard to pick just one person, but there has been some people that have influenced me to keep going and reminded me that, like you said, this journey is not linear. There's ups and downs, because I've had some people be like, "Oh, your teeth are too big," or "we don't like your," like, just really hurtful, weird things to
say
to
people. Things that you can't control. Like, are you good at the job?
It's size of my teeth. Right. Right. So, and then I go back to those mentors and I say, you know, "This was just said, I don't know." And I'm like crying, and they're like, screw that person. Like, keep going, keep being you, because those qualities about you, someone is really going to like. So, it's all, you know, it's all part of the grind, like you said.
Yeah. So what we always like to do is we like to track back, and find out like how this started. So, Casey, I know you're from Ohio.
Yes.
Big Indians fan before she moved to Chicago, or I guess Guardians fan. About 2016. So this is one thing I don't think we've ever talked about, but I don't even know how you really got into it. Like, what made you go down this path?
That's a good question. I was a journalism major in college. I went to Youngstown State University, and I was a journalism major, and I thought I wanted to be like a writer. I thought, like, I'm going to write for the Chicago Tribune one day. And then by the time I graduated college in 2013, a lot of these writing positions were like like print was going down the tubes. Like no one was, newspapers were cutting back. They were doing less web. And I know writing's still a big part of journalism and sports journalism, but the jobs I was looking for weren't really happening. So I said, okay, well, I'll intern in TV. So I started interning for my local TV station, WKBN in Youngstown, Ohio. And I was a web intern. I did a lot of the writing of the web stories or posting of the videos, or, you know, I produced the morning show at the other station for a while too. And then I kept wanting, I had that itch to be on camera, to be an anchor, to be a reporter. And at the time I had a news director and a, you know, my bosses were like, I just really don't think you have what it takes. You kind of are too small to be doing this. You don't have the right, you know, look. And I was like, well, you know, women stand on those apple boxes when they're interviewing players. Like, why can't I just do that? You know, and I wanted to get better. And I kind of felt like it wasn't going to happen for me in Youngstown. So I decided to move to Columbus, Ohio, where I lived for 3 years. And I was also a producer there at a station. And I also worked for the Columbus Blue Jackets there. But again, I was not doing like the stuff I'm doing now. And I wanted to, I had that itch. I wanted to tell athlete stories. So it wasn't really until I moved to Chicago at the end of 2018, where I said, I'm going to go all in on sports. I don't care what it takes. I don't care if I work for free. I'm just going to reinvent myself. I'm going to go build a reel. So I hired a talent development coach who I worked with. Her name is Jill Montgomery. She's great. And she kind of helped me from the ground up build my reel, like learn how to hold the microphone, learn how to speak about college basketball, about high school basketball, about any sport. And she said, just go out and start shooting, filming. Just go do it, because you don't have any, no one's going to hire you unless you have a reel. So I was like, okay, I got to get a reel. So I would go out. I went out to the Big Ten basketball tournament on St. Patrick's Day when it was at the UC several years ago. And I just made up stories about like Tom Izzo and Michigan State basketball. And I was just like writing scripts and filming them myself, doing them with the tripod and a microphone that I bought on Amazon. And all these drunk fans started coming out of the UC. And they were like messing with me, like getting in my shot, like tapping on my microphone. And I was so, I remember being so upset, like, I'm not going to get any good footage from this. This was a waste of my time. It's freezing. But when I got home, I realized that the footage I had was really funny. And I could send you guys the link to the video, but it ended up being a really funny like blooper video where I was trying to get this footage and people were just like being funny in the background. People were like asking if I was the next Aaron Andrews, and someone was like, oh, are you from WGN? And like, it was just, it ended up being like a really funny moment, and it kind of lightened my mood about it. And I was like, okay, like, I didn't turn out as planned, but I'm going to make lemonade out of lemons. So let's just do this. And then I kept going out and shooting stand-ups and shooting footage. And there would be people telling me like, oh, you can't be on the property. You can't be outside of the UC. Like, and I was like, oh, I'm a college student. I like would lie and say that I was at Northwestern. I needed to do this for school. And eventually I got a tape, and eventually it's not good. Oh my God. If I looked it up now, I'd be so embarrassed of my first like reel. And that's when I started getting paid for games on Comcast on CN 100 Sports, where I would do high school football and basketball games. And so that's how I got my start. And ever since then, it's been building and building slowly over time, which has been really, really cool.
Yeah. That's a wild story, to be honest with you. Cause I don't know. About you just going out to the United Center for the Big Ten tournament, just outside, doing it by yourself and everything.
I did. And it was actually I remember being really upset about it because I was like, this is the worst experience. People are so terrible. But then it ended up being really funny. And I'll show you guys the video. It was like a really different experience. But then COVID hit, and I slowed down a little bit. And I was working in advertising and marketing full time to make ends meet, but still on the side, I was trying to do hockey and high school sports and stuff like that. So it's worked out really well. I've been so lucky to be able to do some Big Ten basketball, some volleyball. I have Big East track and field championships coming up at the end of February. So all good stuff.
I guarantee you that I would have just got so much anxiety going out there to try to do what you did.
I did. I don't know how I did it. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was like not prepared to be doing that. And it just, all these drunk fans were coming out, and like the one Badger fan, he was like, "Hey, you know, we lost today." And I was like, "I know, I'm sorry." Like, it was just a blast. I mean, it was just one of those things that turned out well, even though I did not expect it to.
Mm-hmm. Jack R in the comments, he says, "What's up? What's going on, man?" Douglas from Facebook says, "Makeup team outdid themselves. Cody is glowing." I'm gonna take that comment into the weekend.
Very nice.
I appreciate that. And Vaga 420 says, "What is this, Delmendo? It's almost 420. I'll start now. Shout out to you.
Oh my God, Mike Hughes. Hey, Mike."
Yeah, and shout out to Mike. Like I said, all right. Well, that was not what I was expecting to hear from you, to be honest, Casey.
It's been quite the journey. I've kind of like made it up on myself. Like, and people would, my mom's like neighbors would be like, "Is Casey a reporter now?" And my mom would be like, "I don't know. She's like trying to be." Like, I just
kinda, you know, the thing is that I don't even know if my mom understands what the hell I do.
Yeah.
Like, even though like I could send her the link and show her what I do,
mm-hmm.
but like she doesn't like. There's still part of me that feels like she has no idea what I do. Like, it's so like, and that, I'm not meaning to say that is that she does no idea what's going on with technology and media these days, but like it basically is saying that, but yeah. I mean, what it's not like nothing against her, but so but like, I get what you mean by that.
It's that notion of like, maybe Steve, you can relate to this too, but just like fake it till you make it. And that's literally what I did. Like, I pretended that I was that until I was that. And it worked out, but it doesn't always happen that way. For some people, they go to a local market or end up with a radio station or a podcast and kind of do it a different way. My path was just unique in that way, I guess.
And I think people see only people in front of the camera all the time. They don't realize all the other stuff that goes on at a radio or TV station or a social or a sports media place. Like, you at CHGO, you're mainly social media stuff too. So that's a huge part of any company now, not just the people that are talking like Cody every day on camera or whoever every day on camera. It's, there's so much going on in the behind the scenes. That's a lot what I do is more traffic behind the scenes type stuff now, that if we don't do our jobs right, the station doesn't go or the company doesn't go.
I have a special respect for people behind the scenes too, because one, I've done it. Two, I know how hard it is, and I love my coworkers at CHGO, all the producers, the writers, everybody behind the scenes. Cody, even you, like, helped me with social media stuff. Like, some of these guys really helped me because they know I'm sort of a one-woman show, so they're able to clip videos and do tweets and kind of step up where I can't. But even, like, when you think about broadcasts and your A2s and your audio guys and your producers and your directors, like, they have to be knowing what they're doing and on point, because then if they're not, then we don't look good and the whole show doesn't look good. And it's like, I have a special respect for the people on the production crew, no matter what you're doing, because they help. You couldn't do it without them, you know?
So I'm interested, like, we've talked a lot or a little bit about, like, you know, the grind and like the struggles and stuff, like, through it, like, what are some of the broadcasts or sideline reports you've done that you remember the most, that you love doing the most?
Oh, that's a good question. I really did enjoy doing the high school state football championships, because I was just talking about this with someone else. So many of the coaches that I interviewed ended up retiring that year. So Todd Kuska for St. Rita High School football, Ken Leonard is retired, and he was at Sacred Heart. John Holasek, who played in the NFL, he retired. So all these coaches that I interviewed were in their last season. So it was kind of an honor to interview them for the last time and take a look at their amazing high school coaching careers and see how many championships they've won. That's been really cool to see, and just kind of see how great Illinois high school football is. I mean, no, it's not Texas, but I was shocked to see, as you go up in class from 3A, 4A, all the way up to 7 and 8A, these kids are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, these are massive players, and some of them are five-star recruits. Some of them are going to Big Ten schools. And so it's really cool to see them and kind of see them come up like that. Like I interviewed Max Christie, who now plays for the Lakers, I think. And he spent like a year or two at Michigan State, and I interviewed him in high school. And so it's really cool to do high school sports. I was also really honored to be able to do the Big East Field Hockey Championship because I didn't know a lot about field hockey and I learned a ton in the process. And I kind of have a new appreciation for the sport because it is really cool to see. And I went to Virginia to do that. And so that was one of my first like traveling gigs. Normally the stuff I do is somewhat in Chicago or in the Illinois area. So it's cool to be out of state doing something at a championship level, collegiate athletes. These women just are so passionate about field hockey. So that was another cool one. But I've done – it's been so great. Like even my high school experience on Marquee, doing a high school game there was really cool because when Marquee first started, I really wanted to be involved in whatever they were doing. And so to be able to then hold their microphone was kind of like a cool full circle moment for me. But yeah.
What sport would you want to stick with all the time? Do you want to specialize in a sport? Do you want
to? I do. Cody knows this one. This answer. I would love to be a baseball reporter. Baseball is my first true love. And I think it'd be really cool to work for like a regional network or MLB network, and cover a team or cover baseball full time and kind of travel with that team. You know, because you see, there's a Bally Sports Florida reporter, a Bally Sports, you know, North reporter who covers the Twins and all that stuff. So like to be able to work for a regional network and cover a team all year would be a really cool dream of mine, but that's tough because there's only 30 of those jobs. So, and people don't want to leave those jobs because they're obviously enjoying it and it's fun. So that would be my goal, but truly Steve, I would do anything. I would love to do some more Big Ten games. I would love to get into Big Ten football if I could next year. Next season, just anything really. I'm like field hockey, track and field, not my specialty, but honored to cover it and excited about it. And I treat every
field hockey national championships and your champions in your backyard.
Yeah, exactly. So with Northwestern, yeah, I mean, it's I have a special appreciation for women's sports because I don't think they get the credit they deserve and the exposure and the TV time they deserve. So, and that's what kind of gave me my start. The first person that said, hey, yeah, you could come do this for us was the Chicago Bandits, who are no longer a team, but they were a women's professional softball team here. And they were the first ones to say, you know, we can't pay you, but come do this. And they kind of gave me my start. So I owe a lot to them just for letting me come out and trusting me to interview their coaches and players.
Interesting. Yeah, I forgot that they disbanded, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that whole NPF league disbanded, and then Athletes Unlimited came about, which has been the new, which is great because they do lacrosse, volleyball, basketball, and softball, and it's a great avenue for women in sports to not have to go abroad to play. They could play right here.
So it is the end of the year. What, New Year's Eve is tomorrow. You know, I hate New Year's resolutions, but what's the big goal for next year, Casey? Like you said, Big Ten football, like what's one, like whether it's broadcast or you're even doing social CHGO or whatever, I don't know. What's your big goal for next year?
I have a couple. I really would like to do a Big Ten football game or two or three or five or whatever. I would love to do a Big Ten football game. That's a goal of mine. Just continuing to grow in the industry. And I really want to see CHGO grow. I want to get like up to 100K Twitter followers. And if Twitter's still a thing by then, who knows? Everything is up in the air. But I would love to see that continue to grow and us to be more well-known on a greater scale, a larger level.
Yeah. We did hit 23,000 subscribers on YouTube, Steve, if you didn't know.
I heard that. Yeah. I was on the little bit of the CHGO sports show that I listened to this morning.
Yes,
I was
we're proud of that. You guys do a great job with the YouTube and making sure that people are engaged with the content that we're putting out. So it really is a team effort. Like I know I manage social, but I couldn't do my job without everybody else helping and coming up with good TikTok ideas. Cody, you're very skilled at that. I'll send Cody like a idea on TikTok. I'm like, can you make this? Like, can you make it better than me? Because he's like my guinea pig for all those things.
We had just started TikTok at our station down here in Champaign. And it's an NPR station, so it's a little different. You're not like necessarily making sports content, obviously, at all or ever. We did once because it was our background. WYLL's 100th anniversary was this year. Okay. Been around for 100 years on AM, and because of the length of that, they used to cover sports. They used to do Illinois football. So some of the early Red Grange games are on Illinois WYLL tape, which is kind of cool. So they did a little stand up from there on TikTok, which is really cool. But that's like the only sports we've done other than we have one guy covering both men's basketball and football.
Yeah.
But it's such a weird TikTok world that we're in because I mean, I'm 32 and I don't understand anything.
Oh, I'm still learning. We all are. We're all still learning.
The only reason I know anything about TikTok is because I have invested too much time going on YouTube and searching how to grow on TikTok.
Yeah.
Well, Cody, you also had that Vine series that was actually pretty popular at one point.
Back in the day.
I didn't know you had a Vine, Cody.
I mean, my Vine account was nothing that special, but it was like the series of things I would do when I'm at home alone or something like that.
It was pretty funny. I mean, there was a couple for Vine, it was in college.
It was a lot different time.
Oh, I miss Vine.
Bring back Vine. Seriously,
six seconds. That's all I need.
I mean, that's basically what TikTok was. Or now, and Vine did it too. They would like, it started as like 6 seconds, then they moved it to 15 seconds. And like, that's what TikTok was. TikTok was like now 6 seconds and then 15. And now it's like, you can go up to 3 minutes now. That's
literally. I think it's 10 minutes. Some accounts have access to a 10-minute videos. Like, I don't have the time.
It's just YouTube
at this point. Well,
the thing is, and this is all based off research, TikTok is trying to move more towards, not necessarily YouTube, but they are trying to get into that sphere, I guess, where people use TikTok like people use YouTube in a way, I guess.
I think that's happening already. I can see that because I'll even search for things on TikTok that like a tutorial or a product or whatever. But I remember texting Cody and I was like, I put up a clip from the Dansby Swanson press conference. I said, I swear to God, this doesn't go viral. I swear. Like, and it did. It did, luckily. It's been our biggest TikTok.
Was that the grandfather talking about?
Yeah, his story about how, you know, his grandfather was a Cubs fan. Not original content by us by any means, but hey.
Sometimes it doesn't matter.
Right.
What's like being a social media manager, you see all the crazy DMs of everything. Is there any good or even just out of outlandish stories that you can tell from some of those DMs if they're even open?
Yeah. Our DMs are open. I shouldn't say that out loud. they are. And we get a lot of, you know, just people asking to work for us, which is kind of nice. I want to work for CHGO. It sounds like a really cool work environment. It is. We love it. We're really lucky. And as we grow, who knows, there could be room for hiring. But I did have one person ask us, this was kind of funny. They asked, well, some people say like, you guys are like Barstool wannabes or whatever, which is stupid and untrue. But we did have one kid ask me for a way to interview a Bulls player. He said he had a school project and his teacher required him to interview someone that either works for the Bulls or play for the Bulls. And I said, well, you're not going to get somebody to play for the Bulls. You can't even get a hold of them. Like, he was like, hey, I saw you guys, you know, work with Io DeSumo. How did you get that? And can I interview him? And I was like, okay, money is one. Two, and you know, connections, but two is you're probably going to have to find someone who works in a department that you might be interested in at the Bulls. We're not going to we can't help you interview a player. And so sometimes it's just funny stuff like that where you're like, did you really think we'd be able to help you with that?
Some people do. They do. Like, they just think, oh, you talk, you cover these players, you know them personally. Is that? Yeah. I don't know anybody.
Not really how it works. We have to get credentialed just like everybody else. And
I've gotten a few of those on my own account, a few people asking me to like just similar stuff like that, like, and I sometimes I just don't know what to say without just completely letting them down.
And I think as a female I have this like different heart for it, and I'll be like, lament on, oh, I should have answered this kid. Now I feel bad. And everybody at work's like, Casey, don't feel bad. Just don't answer.
Yeah, you can't.
I have this like compassion and I want to help people as much as I can, but we don't have the time to be doing that all the time. So it's hard.
I will say, you know, you said that some people think that we're like Barstool wannabes. Like I think I've said to you in the elevator before that, like, there's some part of us that makes me feel like we, like, not that we are or that we want to be, but like that we kind of relate to it, because the one thing that we do that no one else in Chicago sports, the Chicago sports like media landscape, is that we're just very open about everything, about how our opinions are and how we do things. Yeah. And like, you know, let's be real. The guys at NBC, they're not going to shit on the White Sox too hard because Jerry Reinsdorf owns like 50% of the company or whatever it is. You know what I mean? And like, like we're not being like, it's like the same thing at Marquee. Like it's like when Cole Wright opened every post game show and is like, oh, the Cubs are this and this when they score first, just to make everyone feel better about the 87th loss of the year or whatever. You know what I mean? Like what we do is, we're just very blunt and open and honest about how we feel about whatever's going on and whatever team it is. And the reason that I somewhat compare that to like what Barstool does is like they are passionate fans about whatever team they're talking about or whatever. The only thing that's different now is like they do more than just sports and stuff. And like that's their own decision and everything. And, you know, obviously they don't exactly have the greatest reputation around a lot of stuff. No, so
we don't have the same restrictions as those networks. You're right. But here's the thing. You can't deny that what Barstool built is a good business model. You can't deny that. Like, right. Like they built their stuff from the ground up. They worked their butts off. No one's discrediting them, but I think we're different in the way that, yes, we're sports media. Yes, we're online. Yes, we're unfiltered at times, but at the same time, we're Chicago centered only. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about Big Ten and other things, but and how they relate to Chicago sports, but we're about Chicago sports and their pro teams. And I think we're doing it with a little less misogyny, a little less. because truly that was something that I was concerned about. So you know this, but Steve, like when I went to work for CHGO, I said like, how are you different than Barstool? Because if I'm one of the only women there, I want to know that I'm getting myself into a healthy and just a professional work environment. Yeah, we can have fun. Yeah, they're guys, whatever. But it's not something where I'm going to go, I got to get out of here. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was the main concern for me. So it's nice to know that I have really supportive guys that work with me, respectful, fun people that we work with. And I don't have some of those problems that I've seen over there.
I mean, they don't have the fan. Like one thing that Barstool, like, I think really the biggest thing that the two companies have in common is they don't have their fandom. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's Barstool will add all those extracurriculars on top of it that I don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
99.9% of the time. And CHGO is just, from what I've seen from afar, it hasn't done that, which is great. And which is what you want. You want to be able to connect to fans in every way possible, but you also want to have a respectful work environment for the people that work there every day.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't deny that what they built is great, but it's nice to not have to compare us to that. And people say, are you guys like Barstool? And I say, yes and no, you know, mostly no, we're not. Yeah. So yeah, that's been really cool, but I'm sure we'll get the DMs after this.
you say the magic word and they'll
my
find
DMs
you.
My DMs are open.
You know, you kind of talked about the, you know, when I guess the hiring process coming to CHGO and like having that fear of like being one of the only females, like, was there a story from, you know, the past where you've kind of felt like that's a big thing, or you felt like that was something that, you know, like, I don't know, like, was there an experience or something? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm getting at here. It's
No, I don't think I had that experience because I've always worked with men. A couple years ago when I was at a small marketing agency, it was me and three other guys. We were very small. We were like a 5-person crew. And I work well with men and women. It's fine. It's not a big deal. I was never like the sorority type. So I feel like I always just kind of connected better with with my guy friends. And I think that's why I'm drawn to sports maybe, but I don't know. I didn't really have like a bad experience anywhere. I was just so hyper aware of what could be out there, you know, and what I've seen on the internet or what I've seen my colleagues go through. I think a lot of women I know work in newsrooms for local stations that are very sexist, misogynistic. They have a problem with their boss. Callers call in about what they're wearing or something like that. It's just like, I didn't want that. You know what I mean? And that's why I was just hyper aware, because this is the kind of place I want to work for a while. And I didn't want to have to go looking again after I just got there. You know what I mean? So no, I didn't have like one specific experience. I was just, you know, really cautious about it.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
You said being hyper aware on camera and everything. Cody knows this. In college, the radio station we had TV cameras in it. So it was one of the, and they were up high. They're up in the corners of the room to kind of like people watch people on the radio, which at a college station in the middle of the day, why are you watching someone literally sit at a radio board and play music? It was weird in the first place, but it was really because you could play the music, and there was also like a PowerPoint they could play and all that kind of stuff. But some of my friends would get calls and be like, we could see down your shirt, all that kind of stuff. Like, and it's just, you then turn the channel, like change the channel. Like, don't be the voyeuristic weirdo.
Oh my God. I know. I used to work at the news station in Youngstown, I would sit next to some of our female anchors, and we would get callers call in at night, and they would be like, I don't like her teeth, or her, she looks like a horse, or her hair looks terrible. And I would just go, thank you for your comment, and hang up. And like my anchor coworkers would be like, who is that? What did they say? And it was like about them. And I'd be like, nothing at all. Everything's fine. Because you don't want to like rattle your teeth, you know, you don't
want someone that's on the air ready to give the news.
And so we dealt with that a lot. People just have such strong opinions of people who work on camera or whatever. And that's fine. Cody, you see all the time, people are in your DMs and in your mentions, like when you say something or do something, and that's what happens. And I get it. That's part of what we do. We open ourselves up to that. But I just had to be mindful about where I worked and if that was an okay place, because even sometimes on CHGL, we'll get random comments like nice legs, or like, it'd be great. I love hearing so-and-so talk about this, but it'd be nicer if a woman talked about it. And it's just like, stop, you know? So we just want to build a really healthy phone environment for everybody where it's respectful, especially like in the Discord that we have and on Twitter, on social media.
Yeah. All right, Casey. Well, you have any questions for us before we let you go?
Oh my gosh. First of all, I'm glad that you guys started this podcast. I think this is a great idea. I love the name. I love what you're doing. Besides myself, I would like to know who has been your favorite guest so far.
Well, we're three.
We've only had one other.
Yeah, it's between you and Luke Stuckmeyer. This is.
Oh, okay. I thought of you doing it for a few weeks.
I mean, what? This is episode three. Episode Steve? Three.
The first episode was just us yelling at each other for an hour and a half.
Yeah. And I mean, talking about all the bullshit that we've gone through in our lives. But I'll just say that between you and Luke, your stories are very different. Luke like knew what he wanted to do, and he went to school and then just, you know, found, he took a job. He told us all about how he hated it. And like,
oh, his stories are good. I love
Luke's. Yeah. And how he, you know, I don't know how to say it. Like it was a steady climb.
Yeah. It's a very like, typical like rise to top three market in the country type story, which is cool to see. Like, that's cool to hear, to have that. Like, yes, that path does work. Mm-hmm. That's the path that you expect to take.
Sure. Like, to go to a local station. And I've had agents tell me, like, I've had agents say, like, hey, we'd love to sign you to our agency, but we want to see you do a couple local markets first. And I straight up said, that's not for me. I did that as a producer. I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to freelance and see what happens and take a risk and kind of roll the dice that way. So like I said before, there is no cookie cutter way.
No.
You know, some people do it because their dad owns a team, or there's someone's a coach, or they work their butt, like whatever it is, whatever works for you. So, but I'm glad you guys are doing this pod, and I hope that I don't know. I feel like for Cody, I feel like it could be like therapeutic for you, because when you're in season, mm-hmm. you're so wrapped up in Cubs baseball. So to be able to have a side project like this is really cool.
Yeah, that's kind of like the thought process behind it. Because I've had to like find a way to stop working.
Yeah.
Because I'm so wired to work, because before CHGO, I was doing podcasts and writing for this website for mm-hmm. free and taking up all my time on top of working my full-time job, that I'm just so like wired into just work all the time. And this is just something like, again, just doing the off season for fun, and like gives me a reason to talk to people and a reason to talk to Steve for an hour.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So that's kind of the thought process. Yeah.
You have to unplug, right? Like no matter what, because I could easily get wrapped up in always fixing my reel and always worried about emails I'm sending to connect with people, or what's the next thing I have to post for CHGO. And it's like all these things are in your head. And sometimes you literally have to step away from it, read a book, do this, do something else you enjoy, because you will burn out. Like mm-hmm. note to any young people watching, like you will burn out and not want to do this, and sports will make you sick. And it's like, I don't know, Steve, if you ever felt that way, but it's like,
oh yeah,
you have to take mm-hmm. breaks. And so stuff like Christmas break or this break between Christmas and New Year's, like take time away from it, do other things that you enjoy, talk to people, be with family, because sports is a 24/7 business.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Media in general is like, I worked pretty much every day from Christmas break. I was checking in at the radio station on Christmas mm-hmm. because you have to make sure it runs right. Because if it doesn't run right, somebody's going to email and say, why didn't you run my show? The show that we've had emails of saying, I like planned my day around this show and it didn't air right. So now I'm mad that my show didn't air. It's like,
yeah.
Listen to it online, like in an hour. Calm down.
Right. Calm down. Everybody calm down. I know. It's just so different than the corporate environment. So, and neither is wrong. You know, there's plus and minuses to both. But we love it. We're doing it. So I'm excited to keep watching your guys' show and see who else you get on. And I'm happy to come back anytime too.
Who should I ask? Who should I ask from CHGO next?
Oh, I think you should get Law on the show. I do. Okay. I think because Law has a lot of good stories, like because he works for Big Ten Network and all these other networks, and he's been all over like bowl games and he's done it all. So I think he would be interesting. Who else? Kevin is really interesting. Jake, just because they've had longer careers than like us. You know, they have more stories to tell and more events that they've covered, and I've learned a lot from them just in the couple months that we've been working together. Just about Chicago sports history in general, because I came from Ohio, like you said. And so there were a lot of things I had to learn about. I mean, I knew about Jordan and stuff, but like learning about the history of the Bears, learning about the hockey team, you know, like the Blackhawks championships, like that stuff didn't come naturally to me. So it's been but they would be cool guests.
Browns or Bengals?
Oh, Browns, for sure. Oh, I'm so sad. We're a factory of sadness over here. My family, my dad and my brother are all Browns fans, And every year is sad. Every year is the same. We always get really hyped about our quarterback, and it's never.
It's either they're bad or they're what you got now.
Yeah. I mean, everybody was psyched about, my brother was so excited about Johnny Manziel. It was like the best day of his life. You know what I mean? And it's like Baker Mayfield, like all these guys that, I don't know.
I think they let Baker go too soon.
They did.
I like Baker.
Yeah.
I like Baker a lot.
It'll be interesting to see him play this weekend against the Chargers. But I don't know. I feel like Browns fans are sort of similar to Bears fans.
Oh, yeah.
They're
used to disappointment. You know, they're used to not winning. But they're still tried and true.
They were good at one point in time, sometime in the 70s or 80s.
So I can relate to that a little bit.
Okay. Well, Casey, thanks for joining us. We're going to finish the show. If you want to stick around, maybe we'll talk to you after. But I appreciate you coming on and like giving us the knowledge and telling your story and everything.
It's really finish the show. No worries. I'm actually going to get started on dinner, and I've got to finish our New Year's video that Cody, that I know you know about.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tease.
Yeah.
That's a good tease.
So I'll work on that. I'll let you guys go. But thank you again for the opportunity. This was fun. And I hope that I was insightful in some way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, all guys. Right. Have a good weekend. Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Casey Standerhar, social media director at CHGO and freelance broadcaster, like we kind of talked about. Steve, you know, yes. I asked Casey, like, New Year's resolution. You know how we hate them, but I have to ask, like, what's your New Year's resolution for next year?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't think about a New Year's resolution until about 11:55 at night for New Year's Eve. I mean, is it weird to just say, like, get 1% better every day? Like, that's kind of the cheesy thing to do, but I guess big picture, it's find time for myself. That is not work, because I tend to burn, not burn out, but I tend to always be working and need to not do that.
Yeah.
It really is kind of what it is. I don't know. New Year's resolutions aren't really my thing, because I always forget. Either I make one and then forget about it in a week and a half, or I just break it in a week and a half. So
my New Year's resolution is to, I guess it's to not break the goals that I actually have for next year. Like, if, like, for whatever goal it is, like, I don't know. This year, one of my goals was to get to 1,000 followers on TikTok, and I did that today. It, like, broke that today. So, like, small goals that.
You made it before the end of this year. Like, that's
I did. Thing. I made it before. Yeah. It was a very frustrating at times process, and also, like, eye-opening process, because I had a few that blew the fuck up and got me a bunch of followers. But with that said, this is my transition, Steve. This is my transition into what we're going to talk about. I made a TikTok reacting to the internet, reacting to how everyone took what Stacey King and Adam Amin said about Grayson Allen the other day during his, you know, incident with DeMar DeRozan. It's at like 56,000 views right now.
I got like 800 on one once. That was cool.
Yeah, I feel that. I understand that. the TikTok is about, you know, there's other people in media that are calling them both out for saying what they said about Grayson Allen. And just to be completely just literal about it, is they didn't have anything nice to say about the guy, really. And I guess what surprised me the most about it was that Adam Amin, honestly, was kind of with Stacey King on it. And you know Stacey King, he's the homer. He's the, you know, he's unapologetically the homer for the Bulls broadcast, right?
Yep.
Amin, you know, he's well-respected, and not just as the Bulls broadcaster. He does NFL. He's done baseball, playoff baseball. Like, he's done a lot of stuff. And the fact that he jumped in and kind of had his opinion about Grayson Allen speaks volumes to me about the entire situation, and especially with what he said, because, you know, I don't think that he sits on the Bulls broadcast and tries to play it down the middle. You can definitely tell that he's rooting for the Bulls. He is the Bulls broadcaster. He's the home broadcaster. It's not like he's doing it as like the national guy, right? But to me, like, that spoke volumes, and I just don't really I knew we wanted to talk about this, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because, you know, you take my Bulls fan bias away. I think what those guys said, there's nothing wrong with what they said whenever you have a track record of what Grayson Allen's track record is. And that's one reason why I think it's okay. And then the second reason why is, it's the home broadcast. So what else are you going to expect?
Right. I mean, there's a couple things. I think if Bobby Portis isn't on the Bucks, Grayson Allen doesn't do what he does. Because Bobby Portis literally punched Nikola Mirotic in the face and broke his nose, in practice and not a game. I think it's one of those coming out parties for Adam Amin for Bulls fans, because there was one time I kind of compare him and Jason Benetti have pretty similar paths to their sports announcing fan, like, announcer careers. One of Benetti's big coming out parties was, I think it was last year, was Josh Donaldson being a another punchable face.
Yeah, punk. Yeah.
to Tim Anderson and getting called out. And I mean, that was one of the times like Tony La Russa stood up for his team and people like were actually like right behind Tony. And
it was really cool. It's on Twitter where people weren't yelling about Tony La Russa being awful.
Right. Right. And I think Jason and Steve Stone reacted pretty much the same way. Now Steve Stone isn't necessarily a homer like Stacey King is. I don't think there's anyone doing sports right now announcing in Chicago that's as much of a homer as Stacey King is, because Hawk isn't in Chicago anymore. Because
Hawk retired.
which is good, because I mean I like homer broadcasts. I'm a Chicago fan. They're really cool.
I mean, I had Harry Carey. I mean, I was a kid. You had Hawk, obviously.
I mean,
I get it.
Every city has their homer broadcast. Like, that's what it is. But that aside, the way they talked about Grayson Allen and the way that they talked about him doing this is like, this is a player that doesn't need to do it. Yeah. He's a good basketball player. He's a first round pick, went to Duke. He makes three pointers, plays decent defense. Like, he's a good basketball player. So stop being a jackass.
Right.
And stop. Yeah. Like, was everything embellished in that situation? Yes. Patrick Williams did push him. That was the foul that was called. He then embellished a fall with an armbar into DeMar DeRozan, who then embellished the fall. That's basketball. But DeMar DeRozan also knows if he gets up and says something to him, that makes a big difference later on in the season, to where if then he does something else out of line, there's more track record for it. He also knows that the Bulls kind of need a kick in their ass, and hell, they won the game. Maybe that was the turning point that won them the game.
I see. My thought process on if DeMar DeRozan flopped or not is the fact that the incident happened. DeMar got up, got in Grayson Allen's face, and then continued to be in his face as they all walked back to the bench.
I wonder
what had to be something said, or maybe he didn't flop. You know what I mean? Like, that's true, I don't know.
It was a weird angle going at DeRozan. Like, he probably maybe cut him flat footed and he fell hard. But still, like, it from that, if that was, I mean, if it was Giannis, DeMar DeRozan's four rows in the thing, because Giannis is a massive human being. But if it was Chris Middleton that did it, there's probably not a kerfuffle. Like, there's probably not a thing. Like,
oh yeah, for sure. I mean,
it's the guy.
Yeah, it has everything to do with Grayson Allen's track record. That had everything to do with it. And you know, that's just what happens when you have that kind of reputation, man. Like, it's not even just like Grayson Allen. Like, you could look at, I don't know, like LeBron, for example. He has a track record for flopping all the time. You know what I mean? So anytime he takes a charge, people just assume he's flopping. Like, that's nowhere near the type of, reputation or track record for Grayson Allen in terms of like, you know, potentially hurting people on purpose. But like, that's my example of once you you have so many incidents where things like that happen, people are just going to assume. So
I mean,
to me, do you think that DeMar DeRozan flopped and then decided to get up and yell Grayson Allen after flopping? And in a way, if you think that that's what actually happened, to me, you're thinking that DeMar DeRozan is just kind of like a fake soft person, and like,
DeMar's not one I would mess with.
Yeah, like that's not me just saying that as a Bulls fan. I'm saying that as like, he's one of the more respected players in the NBA right now. He's been in the league for, you know, over 10 years. Like, it's not like he's some rookie or 2 or 3 year guy playing the league. Like, he's been in the league for a long time. And so, yeah, I don't lean to believe that he flopped and then got up and decided to act like Grayson Allen did what he did. I think he didn't see Grayson Allen coming. He got hit, and whether Grayson Allen did it on purpose or not, the fact of the matter is that he has that track record. And so people are going to talk about it. And from Stacey King and Adam Amin's view, it looked like he did it on purpose.
Right.
And like,
I mean, even the TV view
is what it is.
His arm is out like this. Like he's like trying to armbar him in the back. Like, that's looking live on live on TV when he falls into him. I was like, he didn't like put hands out to stop. He like braced himself with a forearm, which is weird. Like, why are you bracing yourself with a forearm, bro? Like,
yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's also like Mac Jones. Mac Jones this season has been a guy that has kind of turned into a dirty player. Like, he literally punched Jaquan Brisker in the ball, or kicked him in the balls, like sliding. Mm. And he's twisted people's leg. When Chandler Jones just stiff armed him right into the ground, that was great. I loved that.
Yeah. That was a great meme, right?
It was a great meme. I mean, if that's all you're going to bring to the NFL is memes, Mac Jones, that's fine with me.
Yeah. I, the only reason I really wanted to talk about it is just because, like, the reaction from other people in media, coming at them, and like Stacey King was like replying to some of them yesterday. There was a guy that he quote tweeted that I'd never heard of. His bio said he's worked for like ESPN and all these other things. And like, he, you know, he straight up told Stacey King that he does a clown broadcast. And I was like, wow, like, we got some real beef here. So I just don't understand why so many people in media got so upset about it. Because again, it's the Bulls home broadcast, and I would just invite Bucks fans to look at it from the other way. Say a Bulls player, or, you know, if Grayson Allen was on the Bulls and he did that to Giannis, do you think that Bucks fans would think that Grayson Allen is not at fault here for anything, or didn't do anything wrong? I don't think so. So I think Bulls fans have the right to believe what they want to believe. And I think Adam Amin and Stacey King were okay to say what they want to say, whether it's correct or not. That's something, I guess, DeMar DeRozan, if he's asked, and I don't know, at the end of the year or in 2 years or some shit, whenever this whole thing is like quieted down, maybe he'll tell you if he flopped or not. Like, I don't know.
I mean, the NBA, like, every league needs a bad boy. Every league needs a bad guy to be the villain. And Grayson Allen will play the villain. He does it. He embraces it, which is fine.
Yeah. But, well, it helps that he looks like Ted fucking Cruz.
He's such a punchable face.
All right. That's episode 3 of Connections. Steve, I hope you have a wonderful New Year's.
You too, do anything special? Not really. So a lot of my friends are going down to Tampa. They're already there or on their way there for the bowl game. Yeah. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Plainly. Yeah. Plane trips are expensive and all that kind of stuff. So I'll be hanging out down in Champaign here with my girlfriend. We'll find something to do. Get her, grab a couple drinks, hang out, watch some college football.
Nice. Me and her are going to some Italian place tomorrow that she's RPM? Been wanting to Which go one? To. I don't know. She was showing me the Instagram account last night, and I already forgot the name of it. But it's in like River North, so I'm assuming it's a nice place. So yeah, that's the big New Year's Eve that we're doing.
Hey,
this is
New Year's Eve in your 30s is a different it's a different ball game.
Different animal. You know what I mean? So yeah, nothing too crazy. We'll be doing that, and then as you might know, we sit dogs on the side. So we got a dog coming here the next morning at sometime between 7 and 9 a.m. So nice. Yeah. That'll be fun. And then I'm going to Cancun the week after. So I know we won't have a show that week. Maybe we do one at the end of next week, next Friday or something like that, if we can find other guests. Or, you know, maybe it'll just be me and you. We don't always have to have a guest. We just come on here and talk about whatever the hell is going on in media.
Cool.
So
I guess if anyone has suggestions, who do you want to hear from? Let us know, and we'll try to work some magic, some radio magic or podcast.
Feel free to send me a DM or send Steve a DM. You can follow the Twitter account connections_pod, send a DM there. Looking forward to, next year and what this show brings. It's been fun. The few episodes we've done here in 2022, and I hope everyone has a great new year. Steve, thanks again, man.
Peace out.
I'll see you all next year.